3704, and the God of Isaac, that this signifies the Lord as to the divine human, is evident from the representation of Isaac as being the Lord's divine rational. And as the rational is that in which the human begins, see number 2194, and thus from which and by which the human is, therefore here by the God of Isaac is signified the divine human of the Lord. As in heaven and with man, and even in universal nature, all things both in general and in particular have relation to good and truth. Therefore also the Lord's divine is distinguished into divine good and divine truth, and the Lord's divine good is called Father, and his divine truth, Son. But the Lord's divine is nothing else than good, yea, good itself. And the divine truth is the Lord's divine good so appearing in heaven, that is, before the angels. The case herein is the same as with the sun. In its essence, the sun itself is nothing but fire, and the light which is then seen is not in the sun, but from the sun. That the Lord as to divine good is represented by the sun, and also that in the other life he is a sun to the universal heaven, may be seen above number 1053, 1521, 1529 to 1531, 2495, 3636, 3643. And that the Lord as to divine truth is represented by light, and also is light in the other life to the universal heaven, see number 1053, 1521, 1529, 1530, 2776, 3138, 3195, 3222, 3223, 3339, 3341, 3636, 3643. Thus the Lord in his essence is nothing else than divine good, and this as to both the divine itself and the divine human. But divine truth is not in divine good, but from divine good, for as before said, so does the divine good appear in heaven. And as divine good comes to appearance as divine truth, therefore for the sake of man's apprehension, the Lord's divine is distinguished into divine good and divine truth. And divine good is that which in the Word is called Father, and divine truth is that which is called Son. This is the arcanum which lies concealed in the fact that the Lord himself so often speaks of his Father as distinct, and as if another than himself, and yet in other places asserts that he is one with himself. That in the internal sense Father signifies good, and in the supreme sense the Lord as to divine good has been shown above, number 3703, and also that Son signifies truth, and the Son of God and the Son of Man, the Lord as to divine truth, number 1729, 1730, 2159, 2803, 2813. And the same is evident from all those passages where the Lord makes mention of his Father and calls himself the Son. That it is the Lord who in the word of the Old Testament is called Yahweh may be seen above number 1343, 1736, 2921. And that he is there also called Father is evident from the following passages. In Isaiah, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, God, Hero, Father of Eternity, Prince of Peace. Isaiah 9, verse 6. Where it is very evident that the child born and the son given unto us is the Lord. Thus it is the Lord who is called the Father of Eternity. In Jeremiah, I will be a father to Israel, and Ephraim shall be my firstborn. 31 verse 9, speaking of the Lord, who is the God of Israel and the Holy One of Israel, as may be seen above, number 3305, and here a father to Israel. In Malachi, have we not all one Father? Hath not one God created us? 2 verse 10, wherein the internal sense to create signifies to regenerate. As also in other passages of the word, see number 16, 88, 472. And as the Lord is the only regenerator and redeemer, it is he who is here called Father and God. As also in Isaiah, Thou art our Father, for Abraham knoweth us not, and Israel doth not acknowledge us. Thou, Yahweh, art our Father, our Redeemer, Thy name is from everlasting. 63, verse 16. Again, I will clothe him with thy tunic, and strengthen him with thy girdle, and I will commit thy government into his hand, that he may be a father to the inhabitant of Jerusalem and to the house of Judah. And the key of the house of David will I lay upon his shoulder, and he shall open, and none shall shut, and he shall shut, and none shall open. And I will fasten him as a nail in a sure place, and he may be for a throne of glory of his father. And they shall hang upon him all the glory of his father's house, of sons and grandsons, every small vessel from the vessels of cups, even to all the vessels of psalteries. 22, verses 21 to 24. That it is the Lord who in the internal sense is here represented and signified, and is called a father to the inhabitants of Jerusalem and to the house of Judah, is very evident. For it is he upon whose shoulder is the key of the house of David, who openeth and none shutteth, and who shutteth and none openeth. See preface to chapter 22. And he has the throne of his father's glory, and upon him and from him are all holy things, which are here called vessels. Celestial things, vessels of cups, and holy spiritual things, vessels of psalteries. As kings and priests represented the Lord, kings by their royalty, the Lord as to divine truth, and priests the Lord as to divine good, number 3670. Therefore priests were called fathers, as may be seen in the book of Judges. Micah said to the Levite, Dwell with me, and be unto me a father and a priest. 17 verse 10. In like manner said to him the sons of Dan, Hold thy peace, lay thy hand upon thy mouth, and go with us, and be to us a father and a priest. 18 verse 19. That kings themselves also so called them is evident in the second book of Kings. The king of Israel said unto Elisha, My father, shall I smite them? And he answered, Thou shalt not smite. 6 verses 21 and 22. And Joash the king so addressed Elisha when Elisha died. He wept over his face and said, my father, the chariots of Israel and the horsemen thereof. 13 verse 14. The reason why kings so called them was that the kings represented the Lord as to divine truth, and the priests represented him as to divine good. And also because truth in respect to good is as a son to a father, for truth is from good. This is well known in the other life, and therefore in heaven they call no other father than the Lord, and perceive no other as meant by father in the word of the evangelists. See number 15, 1729. When being initiated into the good of love and its truth, all little children are there taught to acknowledge the Lord alone as their father. Nay, even novitiates who come into heaven are taught with solicitous care that there is one God. And they who have been born within the church are taught that the whole Trinity is in the Lord. For almost all who come from the Christian world bring with them an idea of three gods, although with their lips they had said that there is but one God. For to think of one when the idea of three has before entered, and when each of these is called God, and also is distinguished from the others as to attributes and offices, and likewise is separately worshipped, is humanly impossible. Consequently, the worship of three gods is in the heart, while the worship of only one is in the mouth. That the whole Trinity is in the Lord is known in the Christian world, and yet among these in the other life the Lord is little thought of. Nay, his human is a stumbling block to many, because they distinguish the human from the divine, neither do they believe it to be divine. And a man will call himself justified and thus made pure and almost holy. But these people do not think that the Lord was glorified, that is, that his human was made divine, when yet he was conceived from Yahuwah himself. And moreover, no one can be justified, much less sanctified, except from the divine. And indeed from the Lord's divine human, which is represented and signified in the Holy Supper, where it is expressly said that the bread is his body, and the wine his blood. that the Lord is one with the Father, and that he is from eternity, and that he rules the universe, consequently that he is divine good and divine truth itself, is very evident from the Word. That he is one with the Father is evident from these words in John: No man hath seen God at any time, the only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father. 1 verse 18. Again, the Jews sought the more to kill Jesus, because he had also said that God was his own Father, making himself equal with God. Jesus answered and said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these doeth the Son likewise. As the Father raiseth the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son also quickeneth whom he will. Neither doth the Father judge any man, but he hath given all judgment unto the Son, that all may honour the Son, even as they honour the Father. For as the Father hath life in himself, even so hath he given to the Son also to have life in himself. The Father who hath sent me hath himself borne witness of me. Ye have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape. Search the Scriptures, for these are they which bear witness of me. 5, verse 18, etc. By Father is here meant, as was said, the divine good, and by Son the divine truth, both in the Lord. From the divine good which is the Father, nothing can proceed or go forth but what is divine, and that which proceeds or goes forth is the divine truth, which is the Son. Again, every one that hath heard from the Father and hath learned cometh unto me. Not that any man hath seen the Father, save he that is with the Father, he hath seen the Father. John 6, verses 45 and 46. Again, they said therefore unto him, Where is thy Father? Jesus answered, Ye neither know me nor my Father. If ye knew me, ye would know my Father also. 8, verse 19. Again, I and the Father are one. Though ye believe not me, believe the works, that ye may know and believe that the Father is in me, and I in the Father. 10, verses 30 and 38. Again, Jesus said, He that believeth in me, believeth not in me, but in him that sent me. And he that seeth me, seeth him that sent me. I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth in me may not abide in darkness. 12, verses 44 to 46. By the Father sending him is signified in the internal sense that he proceeds from the Father. And the same is signified in other passages where the Lord says that the Father sent him. That the light is the divine truth may be seen above. Again, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye would have known my Father also, and from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father. Jesus saith unto him, Am I so long time with you, and hast thou not known me, Philip? He that seeth me seeth the Father. How then sayest thou, Show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not from myself, but the Father that abideth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. John 14, verses 6 to 13. Again, He that hath my commandments and doeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself unto him. If a man love me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. 14 verses 21 and 23. They who are in the divine truth are they who have his commandments and do them, and they who are in the divine good are they who love him, of whom it is therefore said that he shall be loved of the Father, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. That is, the divine good and the divine truth will do so. And therefore it is said in the same evangelist, In that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me. John 14, verse 20. And in another place, Holy Father, keep them in thy name, that they may be one, even as we are. 17, verse 11. From these passages it is evident that the Lord speaks of the Father from the divine good that he himself had, and of the Son from the divine truth which is from the divine good, thus that the Father and Son are not two, but one. The reason why the Lord so spoke was that the word might be received as well on earth as in heaven, and also because before the Lord was glorified, he was the divine truth that is from the divine good. But when he had been glorified, he was the divine good itself as to each essence, and from him is all divine good and divine truth. That the Lord was from eternity may be seen from the fact that it is the Lord who spoke by the prophets, and that for this reason, and also because from him was the divine truth, he was called the Word, concerning which in John, In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and God was the Word. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the Word was made flesh, and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father. 1 verses 1 to 4 and 14. The Word denotes all truth in the heavens and on earth that is from the divine. That the Lord was from eternity, he plainly teaches elsewhere in John. John said, This was he of whom I said, He that cometh after me was before me, for he was prior to me. In the midst of you there standeth one whom ye know not. He it is who is to come after me, who was before me. 1 verses 15, 26, 27, and 30. Again, if ye should see the Son of Man ascending where he was before. 6 verse 62. Again, Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. 8 verse 58. Again, Jesus, knowing that he came forth from God, and went to God. 13 verse 3. Again, The Father himself loveth you, because ye have loved me, and have believed that I came forth from the Father. I came out from the Father, and came into the world. Again I leave the world, and go unto the Father. 16 verse 27 and 28. Again, I have glorified thee on the earth. I have accomplished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. 17 verses 4, 5, and 24. In Isaiah, Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, God, Hero, Father of Eternity, Prince of Peace. 9, verse 6. That the Lord rules the universe is evident in Matthew. All things have been delivered unto me of my Father. 11, verse 27. Again, Jesus said to his disciples, All power is given unto me in heaven and on earth. 28 verse 18. In John, The Father loveth the Son, and hath given all things into his hand. He that believeth in the Son hath eternal life. 3:35-36. Again, the Father judgeth no man, but hath given all judgment unto the Son. 5:22. Again, Jesus knowing that the Father had given all things into his hand. 13:3. Again, all things whatsoever that the Father hath are mine. 16:15. Again, Jesus said, Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee, even as thou hast given him authority over all flesh. 17:1-2. Again, all things that are mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them, and I am no more in the world, for I come to thee. 17:10-11. In Luke, all things have been delivered unto me of my Father. 10:22. From the above passages it is therefore evident that the divine good is that which is called the Father, and the divine truth that which is called the Son, and that the Lord from divine good by divine truth rules all things in the universe in both general and particular. This being so, and it being so evident from the Word, it is astonishing that in the Christian world men do not, as in heaven, acknowledge and adore the Lord alone, and thus the one God, for they know and teach that the whole Trinity is in the Lord. That the Holy Spirit, who also is worshipped as a God distinct from the Son and the Father, is the Holy of the Spirit, or the Holy which through spirits or angels proceeds from the Lord, that is, from his divine good through his divine truth, will of the Lord's divine mercy be shown elsewhere. 3705. The land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it. That this signifies the good in which he was, that it was from his proprium, is evident from the signification of land as being here the good of the natural, concerning which in what follows. From the signification of whereon thou liest as being that in which he was, and from the signification of giving it to thee as being from what was his proprium, concerning which also in what follows. That the land signifies the good of the natural, which will hereafter be represented by Jacob, is because by the land of Canaan is signified the Lord's kingdom. See number 1413, 1437, 1585, 1607, 1866. And because it signifies the Lord's kingdom, it also in the supreme sense signifies the Lord. See number 3038. For the Lord is the all in all of his kingdom, and whatever there is not from him and does not look to him is not of his kingdom. The Lord's kingdom is also signified in the word by heaven and earth, number 1733, 1850, 2117, 2118. But in this case, its interior is signified by heaven and its exterior by earth, number 82, 1411, 1733, 3355. Consequently, in the supreme sense, heaven signifies the Lord as to his divine rational, and earth as to his divine natural. Here, therefore, the land whereon thou liest signifies the good of the natural, in which he was, and which was to be represented by Jacob. That Jacob denotes the Lord as to the divine natural has already been frequently stated. Moreover, that the signification of land is various, see above. Number 620, 636, 1067, 2571, 3368, 3379. And this for the reason that Canaan, which is called the Holy Land, signifies the Lord's kingdom in general. And when mention is made of heaven together with land or earth, then as before said, heaven signifies what is interior, and earth what is exterior. And consequently, it also signifies the Lord's kingdom on earth, that is, the church. And therefore it also signifies the man who is a kingdom of the Lord, or who is a church. Thus in such a man, heaven signifies what is interior, and earth what is exterior. Or what is the same, heaven signifies the rational, and earth the natural. For the rational is interior with man, and the natural exterior. And as earth has these significations, it also signifies that which makes man a kingdom of the Lord, namely the good of love which is from the divine. From all which it is evident how various are the significations of earth or land in the word. That to thee will I give it signifies that it was from what was his proprium, may be seen from the signification of giving in the word when it is predicated of the Lord. For as before shown, the Lord is divine good and also divine truth, and the former is what is called Father, and the latter Son. And whereas divine good is of himself, consequently his proprium, it follows that by giving to thee, when said by Yehovah and predicated of the Lord, is signified that it is from what is his proprium. This shows what is signified in the internal sense by what the Lord so often said, that the Father gave to him, that is, that he himself gave to himself, as in John. Father, glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee, even as thou gavest him authority over all flesh, that whatsoever thou hast given him, to them he should give eternal life. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have accomplished the work which thou gavest me to do. I have manifested thy name unto the men whom thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are from thee. For the words which thou gavest me, I have given them. I pray for them whom thou hast given me, for they are thine. And all things that are mine, and thine are mine. 17 verses 1 to 10. Whereby the Father having given, is signified that they were from the divine good which was his, thus from what was his proprium. From all this it is evident how deep an arcanum lies concealed in each word that the Lord spoke, also how much the sense of the letter differs from the internal sense, and still more from the supreme sense. The reason why the Lord so spoke was that man, who at that time was in total ignorance of any divine truth, might still in his own way apprehend the word, and thus receive it, and the angels in their way. For they knew that Yehovah and he were one, and that the Father signified the divine good. Hence also they knew that when he said that the Father gave to him, it was that he himself gave to himself, and that thus it was from what was his proprium. 3706. And to thy seed. That this signifies that so also was the truth, is evident from the signification of seed as being the truth of faith. See number 255, 880, 1025, 1447, 1610, 2848, 3038, 3310, 3373. 3707. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth. That this signifies that divine truth natural would be as natural good, is evident from the signification of seed as being truth. See above, number 3706. Hence thy seed, or the seed of Jacob, is divine truth natural. For by Jacob is represented the Lord's divine natural, as shown above. And from the signification of the dust of the earth as being good, see number 1610. Therefore, thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, signifies in the internal sense that divine truth natural should be as divine good natural. That the dust of the earth signifies good is because by earth is signified the Lord's kingdom, consequently good, as shown above, number 3705. The dust of that earth therefore signifies good, but natural good, because by earth, as also shown above, is signified that which is lower in the Lord's kingdom, thus the natural, while heaven, when it is also mentioned, signifies that which is interior, or the rational. This is the reason why fructification of good and multiplication of truth are expressed in the word throughout, by seed becoming as the stars of the heavens and as the dust of the earth. By the stars of the heavens are there signified rational things, and by the dust of the earth natural things, which thus increase. What is meant by natural truth being as natural good will of the Lord's divine mercy be explained hereafter. 3708. And thou shalt break forth to the sea, and to the east. that this signifies the infinite extension of good, and that to the north and to the south signifies the infinite extension of truth, thus all states of good and truth, is evident from the signification of breaking forth as being extension. In the present case, infinite extension, because it is predicated of the Lord. From the signification of the sea or west as being good, as yet obscure, thus in its commencement. From the signification of the east as being the good which is lucid, and thus perfect. From the signification of the north as being truth as yet in obscurity. And from the signification of the south as being truth in the light. In many passages in the Word, mention is made of the sea, or west, of the east, of the north, and of the south. But inasmuch as it has not heretofore been known to any one that these, like all things whatsoever in the Word, have an internal sense, in which sense they do not signify worldly things according to the sense of the letter, but spiritual and celestial things, and in the supreme sense the divine things of the Lord himself. Therefore man could know no otherwise than that by the west, east, north, and south were meant only the quarters of the world, and that by breaking forth to these quarters is meant multiplication. But that by these expressions there are not signified such quarters, nor the multiplication of any people, but states of good and truth and their extension, may be seen from all the passages in the Word, especially in the prophets, where they are mentioned. For that which is the west, east, north, and south is altogether unknown in heaven, inasmuch as the sun there which is the Lord is not like the sun of the world, which rises and sets, and by its greatest altitude causes midday, and by its least causes night. But it appears with constancy, yet in accordance with the states of those who receive light from it, for its light has within it wisdom and intelligence. See number 1619-1632. 2776, 3138, 3167, 3190, 3195, 3222, 3223, 3339, 3341, 3485, 3636, 3643. Wherefore it appears in accordance with the state of each person's wisdom and intelligence. With those who are in good and truth, it appears with heat and light, but celestial and spiritual heat and light, as our sun appears in its rising and at midday, while with those who are not in good and truth, it appears as does our sun when setting and at night. From this we can see that in the internal sense of the word, by the east, south, west, and north are signified states of good and truth. Be it known that states of good and truth are described in the Word not only by the quarters of which we have been speaking, but also by the times or states of the year, spring, summer, autumn, and winter, and also by the times or states of the day, morning, midday, evening, and night, and this for a similar reason. But when the subject is the extension of good and truth, this is described by the quarters. What is signified by each quarter in particular may be seen from the passages in the Word where they are mentioned. That the east signifies the Lord and the good of love and charity which is from the Lord was shown above, number 101, 1250, 3249. And that the south signifies truth in light, number 1458, 3195. But what is signified in the genuine sense by the west and what by the north, and what in the opposite sense may be seen from the following passages. In Isaiah, "Fear not, for I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east, and gather thee from the west. I will say to the north, Give up, and to the south, Keep not back. Bring my sons from far, and my daughters from the end of the earth." 43 verses 5 and 6. Speaking of a new spiritual church, which is there called Jacob and Israel. To bring seed from the east and to gather from the west denotes those who are in good. To say to the north, Give up, and to the south, Keep not back, denotes those who are in truth. In David, the redeemed of Yehovah shall say, Whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and gathered them out of the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the sea. They wandered in the desert in a solitary way, they found no city to dwell in. Psalm 107, verses 2 to 4, concerning those who are in ignorance of good and truth. From the east and from the west denotes those who are in ignorance of good. From the north and from the sea, those who are in ignorance of truth. Concerning those who are in ignorance of good, it is said that they wandered in the desert. And concerning those who are in ignorance of truth, that they wandered in a solitary way. And concerning the ignorance of both good and truth, it is said that they found no city to dwell in. That city signifies what is doctrinal of truth may be seen above. Number 402, 24, 49, 29, 43, 32, 16. And that to dwell is predicated of good. Number 22, 68, 24, 51, 27, 12. In Isaiah, behold, these shall come from far, and lo, these from the north and from the west, and these from the land of Sinim. 49, verse 12. Where the north denotes those who are in obscurity as to truth, and the west those who are in obscurity as to good, who are said to come from far because they are remote from the light which is from the Lord. In Amos, behold, the days come that I will send a famine in the land, and they shall wander from sea to sea, and from the north even to the east they shall run to and fro to seek the word of Yahuwah, and shall not find it. 8, verses 11 and 12. Where famine denotes scarcity and failure of cognitions, number 1460, 3364. Wandering from sea to sea denotes to inquire where there are cognitions. That sea signify cognitions in general, see above, number 28, 2850. To run to and fro from the north even to the east denotes from those cognitions which are in obscurity to those which are in light. It is evident that cognitions are here meant, for it is said, to seek the word of Yahuwah, and they shall not find it. In Jeremiah, proclaim these words toward the north, and say, return, thou backsliding Israel, saith Yahuwah. I will not cause my faces to fall upon you, for I am merciful. In those days the house of Judah shall go to the house of Israel, and they shall come together out of the land of the north, upon the land that I gave for an inheritance unto your fathers. 3 verses 12 and 18. Speaking of the restoration of the church that is from the Gentiles. The north denotes those who are in ignorance of truth, and yet are in a life of good. It is evident that in this passage the north is not meant, nor the land of the north, for Israel no longer had any existence. Again, Yahuwah liveth that brought up the sons of Israel from the land of the north, 16 verse 15, where the north in like manner denotes ignorance of truth. Again, behold, I will bring them from the land of the north, and gather them from the sides of the earth, and among them the blind and the lame. 31 verse 8. The land of the north denotes ignorance of good because of truth. And because the land of Canaan represented the Lord's kingdom, and thence also good, number 3705, and what was in the midst thereof, as Zion and Jerusalem, represented the inmost good with which truth was conjoined. Therefore the parts which were distant therefrom represented obscurity as to good and truth. And all that which is in obscurity is called the land of the north, and also the sides of the earth. Moreover, as all the good which flows in with light from the Lord terminates in what is obscure in man, the north is also called an assembly or a congregation, as in Isaiah. Thou saidest in thine heart, I will ascend into the heavens, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God, and I will sit upon the mount of congregation in the sides of the north. 14 verse 13. Again, howl, O gate, cry, O city, thou art melted away, O Philistia, all of thee. For a smoke cometh out of the north, there is none solitary in the assemblies. 14 verse 31. In David, great is Yahuwah, and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of his holiness. The joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion, on the sides of the north, the city of the great king. Psalm 48, verses 1 and 2. Again, the heavens are thine, the earth also is thine. The world and the fullness thereof thou hast founded them. The north and the right hand thou hast created them. 89 verses 11 and 12. Where the north denotes those who are more remote from the light of good and truth, and the right hand those who are nearer thereto. That these are at the Lord's right hand, see above number 1274-1276. In Zechariah, who saw four chariots coming out from between two mountains of brass, with red, black, white, and strong grizzled horses, and the angel said, These are the four winds of the heavens, which go forth from standing before the Lord of all the earth. All the black horses go forth into the land of the north, and the white went forth after them. And the grizzled went forth into the land of the south. Then he spake unto me, saying, Behold, they that go forth to the land of the north have quieted my spirit in the land of the north. 6 verses 1 to 8. Chariots going forth between two mountains of brass denote doctrinal things of good. That chariot signify doctrinal things will be made manifest elsewhere. That a mountain signifies love may be seen above number 795, 1430, 2722. Hence two mountains signify two loves, celestial love which is love to the Lord, and spiritual love which is love toward the neighbor. That brass signifies the good therefrom which is in the natural, see above number 425, 1551. That horses signify intellectual things, thus the understanding of the doctrinal things of good, see 2760-2762, 3217. The land of the south denotes those who are in the cognitions of good and truth, number 1458-3195. The land of the north, those who are in ignorance of good and truth, but in a life of good, in which are the upright Gentiles, among whom when a new church is being set up, the Spirit of God is said to rest. In Jeremiah, Yahuwah, who brought up and who led back the seed of the house of Israel out of the land to the north, and from all the lands whither I had driven them, that they may dwell upon their own land. 23 verse 8. Where out of the land of the north signifies from the obscurity of ignorance respecting good and truth. Again, shall iron be broken, iron from the north and brass? 15 verse 12. Iron signifies natural truth, number 425-426. Brass, natural good, number 425-1551. These are said to be from the north because from the natural, where there is relative obscurity and a termination. That this prophecy does not signify that iron and brass are from the north is evident without explication. For what could there be of the divine, or even of coherence with what goes before and what follows after, if the meaning were that iron and brass were therefrom. In Matthew, I say unto you that many shall come from the east and from the west, and shall sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. 8 verse 11, Luke 13 verse 29. Where many from the east and the west denote those who are in the cognitions and the life of good, and those who are in obscurity and ignorance. Thus those who are within the church and those who are without it. For that states of good are signified by east and west was said above. That to sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob signifies to be with the Lord may be seen above number 3305. That in like manner those will come from the east and from the west who shall be with the Lord in his kingdom or in his church is said in the prophets, as in Isaiah. I will bring thy seed from the east, and gather thee from the west. 43 verse 5. Again, they shall fear the name of Yahuwah from the west, and his glory from the east. 59 verse 19. Again, they shall know from the rising of the sun and from the setting that there is none besides me. I am Yahuwah, and there is none else. 45 verse 6. Again, I will stir up one from the north, and he shall come. From the rising of the sun shall he call upon my name. 41 verse 25. Moreover, that such is the signification of the east, west, south, and north may be clearly seen from the construction of the tabernacle, from the encamping and journeying of the sons of Israel, from the description of the land of Canaan, also from the description of the new temple, of the new Jerusalem, and of the new earth. From the construction of the tabernacle, in that all things therein were arranged according to the quarters, Exodus 38, as what was to be at the east and west corners, and what at the south and north corners, Exodus 27, verses 18, 20, 22, and 27, 27, verses 9, 12, and 14, and that the candlestick over against the table was to be on the side of the tabernacle toward the south, but the table on the north side, Exodus 27, verse 35, 40, verse 22. From the encamping and journeying of the sons of Israel, also according to the quarters, in that they were to encamp around the tent of the congregation with the tribes of Judah, Issachar, and Zebulun toward the east, with the tribes of Reuben, Simeon, and Gad toward the south, with the tribes of Ephraim, Manasseh, and Benjamin toward the west, and with the tribes of Dan, Asher, and Naphtali toward the north. Numbers 2, verses 1 to the end. Also that of the Levites. The Gershonites were to be toward the west, the Kohathites toward the south, the Merarites toward the north, and that Moses, Aaron, and his sons should be before the tabernacle toward the east. Numbers 3, verses 23 to 38. Whereby there was represented the celestial order which in the Lord's kingdom is according to the states of good and truth, and that toward the south they should sound the alarm for their journeys. Numbers 10, verse 6. And that as they encamped, so also they journeyed. Numbers 2, verse 34. From the description of the land of Canaan, which was first described by Moses in respect to the boundaries round about, and this at the south corner, at the west corner, the north corner, and the east corner. Numbers 34, verses 2 to 12. And the same afterwards when it was given by lot to the tribes. Joshua 15, to 19. From which and also from the most ancient people who dwelt in the land of Canaan, all the places therein became representative and significative, according to their situation, distance, and boundaries in respect to the quarters. Number 1607, 1866. From the description of the new temple of the new Jerusalem and of the new earth, also according to the quarters in Ezekiel, as that the building of the city was from the south, and that of the gate of the building the faces were toward the east, toward the north, and toward the south. 40 verses 2, 6, 19, 20 to 46. Concerning the measure of the temple and its door toward the north and toward the south, 41 verse 11. Concerning the court toward the north, the east, the south, and the west, 42 verses 1, 4, 10, 11, 17 to 20. And that the glory of Yahuwah, the God of Israel, entered from the way of the east, 43 verses 1, 2, and 4. Concerning the gates of the outer court, 41 verses 1, 2, and 4, 44 verses 1, 9, 10, 19, and 20. Concerning the boundaries of the Holy Land, 47, toward the north, verses 15 to 17, toward the east, verse 18, toward the south, verse 19, and toward the west, verse 20. And concerning the inheritances according to the quarters for each tribe, 48. And concerning the gates of the Holy Jerusalem, on the east, the north, the south, and the west, Revelation 21, verse 13. From all this it is very evident that in the internal sense the four quarters of the world, according to which the above holy things or representatives of what is holy were arranged, do not signify those quarters, but states of good and truth in the Lord's kingdom. That in the opposite sense the north and the west signify what is false and evil may be seen from the following passages. In Jeremiah, the word of Yahuwah came unto me the second time, saying, What seest thou? And I said, I see an open cauldron, and the face thereof is toward the north. Then Yahuwah said unto me, Out of the north evil shall be opened upon all the inhabitants of the land. For lo, I will call all the families of the kingdoms of the north, saith Yahuwah, and they shall come. 1 verses 13 to 15. Again, set up a standard toward Zion, assemble together, stay not, for I will bring evil from the north and a great shattering. 4 verse 6. Again, the voice of a noise, behold, it cometh, and a great commotion out of the north country, to make the cities of Judah a waste. 10 verse 22. Again, blow the trumpet in Tekoa, for evil looketh forth from the north, and a great shattering. Behold, a people cometh from the land of the north, and a great nation shall be stirred up from the sides of the earth. 6 verses 1 and 22. Again, then took I the cup from the hand of Yahweh, and made all the nations to drink, Jerusalem, and the cities of Judah, and the kings thereof, Pharaoh king of Egypt, and all the western throng, all the kings of Arabia, and all the kings of the west, that dwell in the desert, and all the kings of the north, far and near. Jeremiah 25, verses 17 to 20, 24 and 26. Again, the swift one shall not flee away, nor the mighty man escape. Toward the north, near the shore of the river Euphrates, have they stumbled and fallen. Who is this that riseth up like the river? Egypt riseth up like the river, for he saith, I will rise up, I will cover the earth, I will destroy the city and the inhabitants thereof. But this is the day of the Lord Yahweh Zebaoth, a day of vengeance. For the Lord Yahweh hath a sacrifice in the land of the north by the river Euphrates. Egypt is a very fair heifer. Destruction cometh from the north. The daughter of Egypt is put to shame. She is delivered into the hand of the people of the north. 47 verses 6 to 8, 10, 20, and 24. Again, thus saith Yahweh, behold, waters rise up out of the north, and shall become an overflowing stream, and shall overflow the land and the fullness thereof, the city and them that dwell therein. 47 verse 2. Again, the word that Yahweh spake against Babylon. From the north there cometh up a nation against her, which shall make her land a desolation, and none shall dwell therein. 50 verse 3. Again, for lo, I will stir up and cause to come up against Babylon an assembly of great nations from the land of the north, and they shall set themselves in array against her. From thence she shall be taken. Behold, a people cometh from the north, and a great nation, and many kings shall be stirred up from the sides of the earth. 50 verses 9 and 41. Again, then the heavens and the earth, and all that is therein, shall sing over Babylon, for the devastators shall come to her from the north. 51 verse 48. In Ezekiel, say unto Gog, thou shalt come from out of thy place, from the sides of the north, thou and many people with thee. Thou shalt come up against my people Israel as a cloud to cover the land. 38 verses 14 to 16. Again, behold, I am against thee, O Gog, the prince. I will cause thee to turn about, and leave but the sixth of thee, and will cause thee to come up from the sides of the north. And I will bring thee upon the mountains of Israel. Thou shalt fall upon the mountains of Israel, upon the faces of the field thou shalt fall. Ezekiel 39, verses 1, 2, 4, and 5. In Zechariah, alas, flee from the land of the north, saith Yahweh, for I will spread you abroad as the four winds of the heavens. Alas, Zion, escape, thou that dwellest with the daughter of Babylon. 2 verses 6 and 7. From all these passages it is evident what is signified in the opposite sense by the north, namely the falsity from which is evil and the falsity which is from evil. As the falsity from which is evil originates in reasoning concerning divine things and against divine things from the scientifics that belong to the natural man, it is called the people of the north out of Egypt. That Egypt signifies such scientific may be seen above, number 1164, 1165, 2588. As the falsity which is from evil originates in external worship apparently holy, the interiors of which are profane, it is called the nation of the north out of Babylon. that Babylon signifies external worship may be seen above. Number 1182, 1283, 1295, 1304, 1306 to 1308, 1321, 1322, 1326. That it is Babylon also which causes vastation, number 1327. Both the falsity from which is evil and the falsity which is from evil are predicated of Gog, for Gog signifies worship in externals without an internal, consequently idolatrous worship, such as was that of the Jews at all times. That Gog signifies such worship, see above, number 1151. From the obscurity which is of the natural man, there arises both what is true and what is false. When man suffers himself to be enlightened by the word from the Lord, then his obscurity becomes lucid, for there is opened an internal way whereby influx and communication take place through heaven from the Lord. But when he does not suffer himself to be enlightened by the word from the Lord, but by his own intelligence, then his obscurity becomes dark and thus false. For the internal way is closed, and no influx and communication take place through heaven from the Lord, except of such a sort as to enable him to appear in the outward form as a man, by thinking and also speaking from what is evil and false. For this reason, with the former, the north signifies what is true, but with the latter, what is false. For the former ascend from obscurity, that is, are elevated to the light, whereas the latter descend from obscurity, that is, remove themselves from the light. Thus the former are carried to the south, but the latter to the infernal regions. That the north signifies the darkness of falsity, and the south the light of truth, is very evident in Daniel, where the ram and the he-goat are described, as also the king of the south and the king of the north. Concerning the ram and the he-goat, it is said, I saw the ram pushing with his horn westward, northward, and southward, so that no beast could stand before him. A he-goat came from the west over all the faces of the earth, and out of one of his horns there came forth a horn which grew exceedingly toward the south and toward the east and toward beauty. Daniel 8, verses 4, 5, and 9. Concerning the king of the south and the king of the north, the king of the south signifying those who are in the cognitions of truth, and the king of the north those who are in falsity, it is thus written, At the end of years they shall join themselves together, so that the daughter of the king of the south shall come to the king of the north to make equitable terms, but her arm shall not attain strength. But out of a shoot from her roots shall one stand up that shall enter into the fortress of the king of the north, and shall prevail, and shall carry captive into Egypt. The king of the south shall come into the kingdom, and shall come forth and fight with the king of the north. And the king of the north shall return, and shall set forth a multitude greater than the former. There shall many stand against the king of the south. The king of the north shall come and take the fenced cities, and shall destroy many things. The king of the south shall war in battle with a great army, but shall not stand, for they shall devise devices against him. Afterwards he shall return, but shall not be as in the former time. The people that know their God shall strengthen themselves. And at the time of the end shall the king of the south strive with him. Therefore the king of the north shall rush upon him like a whirlwind, with chariot and with horsemen. In the beauteous land many shall fall, but rumors from the east and from the north shall terrify him, and he shall go forth with great anger. He shall come to his end, and none shall help him. Daniel 11. That the king of the south signifies those who are in the light of truth, and the king of the north those who are at first in shade, and afterwards are in the darkness of falsity, may be seen from all the particulars. And that thus it is a description of the state of the church, and of the way in which it is successively perverted. They are called kings of the south and of the north, because by kings in the internal sense of the word are signified truths, and in the opposite sense, falsities. Number 1672, 2015, 2069. And by kingdoms, the things which are of truth, and in the opposite sense, those which are of falsity. Number 1672, 2547.